chapter 13. And of course, chapter 13 is that chapter which is full of what is Jesus' teaching as to what is about to come. And so, having looked at the ideas of the tribulation spoken of there and the sorrow and the disruption that is described, we now come to part of that chapter that looks at the end in view, and that is the coming of the Son of Man. Of course, this event comes with its fair share of controversy as people over the centuries and today look for a literal fulfillment of these things. But for us, the focus is not on the literal or historical aspects of the text, other than their ability to take us within the Word to its spiritual sense, and within the world of our own thoughts and affections, and understanding these things as they apply there. Our focus is spiritual, not natural. You see, because if we don't take care of the spiritual aspect, we will not be prepared for this coming of the Son of Man. We will not be prepared for the coming of the heavenly life within us. So when we look at these passages today, we look at them in a very personal way, applied to us, each and every one of us. But not to us only, but to us as a collective person. To look out into the world would draw our focus away from that work that needs doing within our own hearts and minds. This is the world where transformation needs to occur. It is a transformation that will make us more loving and understanding in our approach to life and others. Our readings from the Word this morning. First reading is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 13, verses 6 to 13. Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore all hands will be limp, every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth. They will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth, and the moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil, and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place. In the reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 24 to 37. But in those days after the tribulation, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country, who has left his house and gave authority to his servants, and to each his work, and commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. And the reading from the Heavenly Doctrines is from the Apocalypse Revealed, paragraph 24. It's found on your service sheet. By the clouds of heaven in which he is going to come, nothing else is understood but the word in the sense of the letter, and by the glory in which they are going to see him, the word in its spiritual sense. That this is the case can scarcely be believed by those who do not think beyond the sense of the letter. With them, a cloud is a cloud, and as a result, there is confidence that the Lord is going to make his appearance in the clouds of heaven while the last judgment is impending. This idea falls to the ground, however, when it is known that a cloud is that it is divine truth and ultimate, thus the word in the sense of the letter. Clouds appear in the spiritual world just as they do in the natural world. But the clouds in the spiritual world appear below the heavens, among those who are in the sense of the letter of the word, darker or brighter in accordance with the understanding of the word and its reception at the same time. This is because the light of heaven there is divine truth, and darkness there is composed of untruths. Consequently, bright clouds are the divine truth veiled over with appearances of truth, such as the word is in the letter with those who are in truths, while dark clouds are the divine truth covered over with fallacies resulting from confirmed appearances, such as the word in the letter is with those who are in untruths. I have often seen those clouds, and it has been plain whence and what they are. Now because the Lord, after the glorification of his human, was made divine truth or the word even in ultimates, he said to the high priest that from now on they were going to see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. So we come to this passage of scripture which looks at the coming of the Son of Man. And we're going to look at each of the elements there. We're going to be looking at statement concerning the coming of the Son of Man, verses 24 to 27. And we will look at the fig tree, and then we will look at that last portion which speaks about staying awake or becoming awake to these things. And so verses 24 to 27, we read that, but in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars of heaven will fall and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the farthest part of the earth to the farthest part of heaven. In those days after the tribulation, we've looked at this tribulation as being the disruption of our thinking and our way of being in response to following the Lord, and how that process of sincerely following the Lord and seeking to have a genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of others placed at the center of our life, leads to this dismantling of those things we hold dear. And that dismantling occurs because of the elements of our own selfishness that have been tied to them. And so chapter 13 up to this point has been speaking about the struggle that ensues when that process begins to have an impact on our life. We end up being in a state of loss. What we relied on in terms of the ideas and the ways of behaving in the world has now become totally undermined. And what we see here is the description of the sun and it being darkened. And the sun represents the things of love. And this is speaking at a personal level about that sun, which is our selfishness, the loves that are tied to that. And how that as those things become revealed to us, they no longer can serve us. We cannot then use them as the basis for our motivations. And within our own thinking and being and seeing, these things become darkened to us. And so the sun is described as becoming dark. And we begin to see it as it is. For there needs to be the rising of a new sun within our life, a new love. And that love is a genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of others. The things that we once delighted in no longer give us pleasure. These things are now darkened. And now we see this darkness. And it marks a major shift in the state of one who is following the Lord. As a person moves towards a new understanding and new ways of being, so those things that we were tied to, that we were attached to in the past, no longer give us direction. There is darkness. And the moon gives no light. The moon is the great partner of the sun. The moon reflects the light of the sun. And so this moon, at the personal level of our growth and development, is those leading principles which have held sway in our life. And of course, those leading principles, grounded in a selfish view of life, when that sun is darkened, also become dark. Whereas once we thought we were enlightened, now we see we knew nothing. In this process of struggle, of tribulation, we come to see the extent of these loves, these lower loves in our life, the loves of self and the world. And as we begin to see them, so we seek the Lord in order that He may strengthen us in those things that are good and true, in the new things that need to become established at the center of our life. So while we need a new sun in our life, new ruling affection, so we need a new moon, new principles, new ideas by which to approach our life in the world, our life of use. And so the next thing we read is that the stars fall from heaven. And these stars are the ideas that have served to navigate us through life. We have navigated our way by them. And so they represent that knowledge that we have pulled together and the knowledge that we have held in a high place. But as this process of disruption and unpacking of our life occurs, so those ideas that we once saw as high things in our life, things to be held on to, things to be protected and guarded, Now we see that they are nothing other than merely worldly things as they come, as they fall to the earth. And so the whole mind is placed in a state of disruption, which must occur. We saw last week, we spoke about the fact that these things are binding in order for a new becoming within our lives to occur. Our old ways are now seen to be something that cannot be relied upon, and so we are left desolate in the middle of a tribulation. The powers are shaken, the powers of heaven. And these are the powers of our ability to reason about and function within life, from those spiritual principles that we had accumulated over time, but had become infected with the scribe, the Pharisees, the Herodians, these elements that are opposed to the love of the Lord in our life. And so this power of reasoning, when that sun darkens, when the moon no longer gives its light, and when the stars fall from heaven, our ability, which is what this word power means in the Greek, our ability to function as we had functioned no longer remains. Meaning begins to be lost. The sureness about our life and where we are heading wanes. We begin to wonder who we are, where we're going, what is it all about. All these things come from this shaking of the powers of heaven for those who are undergoing a spiritual transformation. And it doesn't just apply at the level of us as individuals. It applies at a collective level as well. There is a natural tendency for things to move towards becoming fixed and rigid. And this happens as much to us in terms of our own thinking as individuals as it does to us as an organization committed to sharing the spiritual path with others. This shaking has to occur to dislodge this rigidity we find in our life. And it is only when this occurs that we shall see Him coming. When our reliance on ourselves is broken, it is then that we see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. As we saw in the reading, these clouds of heaven relate to the literal sense of the word, or the way we understand the word. And how these clouds operate is that when our mind is caught up in the literal aspects and understanding the word from a natural perspective, this clouds out the spiritual sense that lies within it. You see, those things, those spiritual things, are clouded out due to our natural ideas. And it is only once our attachments to those things that are linked to our selfish tendencies is broken that the word can begin to be, or can begin to be seen in a new way. What then happens as we apply these things to life, as we begin to take the truths of the word and reflect on our own thinking and affections and look to the Lord to purify our motivations, so we begin to gain a new perception of those things that lie within the word. We see them related to new things. We see them related to how we are to love effectively, what we are to do. It is when we begin to see the word as a commentary on our own inner life that it becomes enlivened for us personally. Things shine forth from it. And we enter into that place where we see the Son of Man coming. Coming in the clouds of heaven with great power and glory. An ability, the Word then has the ability to effect a transformation in our life. A transformation in our being. This is the great power of the Word. Its ability to transform our being. To place that love, that genuine concern for the spiritual well-being of others at our center and have that shine in our understanding and give us insight into how we are to love one another appropriately. The glory, esteem, is the word there. It is valued. The word becomes something that is valued because it promotes love in our life. And so it is that when that old understanding goes through its disruption and not one stone of that old temple is left upon another, and we move through that process, there is a new ordering that occurs, a new ordering in terms of our understanding. And this is the sending forth of the angels to gather the elect. And the elect are those things that have been planted within us by the Lord through His Word. Things good and true begin to be gathered together and to form a new body of thought, a new way of understanding things. These are gathered from the furthest parts of the earth and the furthest parts of heaven. There is a sense of wholeness here, as those things that have been built up over time suddenly begin to fall into place, and we enter into that life for which each and every one of us were created. The Lord then goes on to shore up His teaching with a parable, the parable of the fig tree. He asks us to look at the fig tree and to learn from it. And what it says is that basically when you're going through these things, it seems that it is never ending. Disruption is not a pleasant experience. But the hope is this coming of the Son of Man in the clouds of heaven, this new understanding. And it is revealed in the parable of the fig tree, the story of a simple tree. And what is the parable of that tree? Well, that despite the disruption and everything we have to contend with in the spiritual life, things, when they reach their culmination, occur quickly. The fig puts forth its branch, it softens with the sap that enters into it, and all of a sudden the leaves are present, and the fruit. And in that we can take comfort that when these things occur, know that fruit will be produced, that new perceptions, those leaves, will come about, that summer is near, that that heat of that love that is from heaven is very near. The Lord is near, even at the door, waiting and ready to enter in. And he says that this generation shall not pass away till these things take place. And this idea of generation relates back to what we spoke of last week with regard to the new birth. The reference here is to the birthing process. This birthing process will not pass by. It will not be completed until these things take place. The new birth will not occur. The rising of that new love within us will not occur without the process of travail. Spiritual travail. Just as a natural birth cannot occur without it. These things, this generation will not pass until these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass, but the Lord's word remains. And so as we go through this process, our understanding of spiritual and natural things will alter and change. But they change as we hold on to this and seek the Lord in His Word. And as we do that, as we apply it to our life, then we come into new phases of understanding and being. And so those old ways of understanding and being pass over. And that is the passing of the heaven and the earth for a new heaven and earth to be established within our life. But at each level and phase, it is a new understanding or a deeper understanding of the Lord's word that moves us forward. And so His word remains the foundation and center of all that is in our life. It must remain the foundation and center of our spiritual pursuit, because the doctrines declare that the Word is the Lord, or the Lord is the Word. This is the Lord with us. And as these things enter our understanding, so He makes Himself present, and the Son of Man is seen coming in glory. We don't know when this process will be complete. And therefore the Lord admonishes us to stay awake, to watch. To watch the doors of your mind and your heart. To watch what passes through it. To watch and hold out those things that are opposed to the Lord's love in our life. To watch and ensure that those things that are tied to our own selfish tendencies do not gain the upper hand in our thinking, in our way of being. The spiritual life is one of wakefulness, of becoming conscious to what goes on within us. And so the Lord admonishes us, not once, but a couple of times, with this idea of being watchful. Be awake. Discipline yourself on a daily basis to become aware of those things that float through our minds. And if we tend to these and seek the Lord's assistance, so the rising of that new sun, that new heart, will surely come to pass. Amen.